it's about integrity, or integrity is not just about being ethical, moral, and honest, but really it is also about being whole, integrated, uncorrupted. Okay? It is talking about the whole person, that as a person as a whole, I need to grow and I need to change. Last week we looked at, I drew a little tree. Maybe I can just bring us up to speed with my artwork. Here's my tree. And on the tree, we have fruit. Prayerfully, we have fruit. Let me say it, put it this way. We want fruit. But that in order to get the fruit on the tree, we tend to focus on the fruit itself instead of the trunk and the roots of the tree. And integrity is all about being whole as a person here at the root. And when you become whole and undivided and integrated and uncorrupted, the fruit is produced in your life. And so when you become whole and integrated, you are able to meet the demands of reality. Meaning that reality comes at us every day in the unexpected. And only when the tree and the root is well set, are we able to meet those demands, face life, and be fruitful. So what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks is we're going to take a look at what are some of these things that need to be integrated, let's say per se here, what are some of the things that needs to be integrated here to make sure that, with the roots down there, to make sure that I'm actually able to live a life where I'm able to influence others and help others. Whether it is your spouse, whether it is your children, whether it's friends, colleagues, neighbors, who do I need to become? In other words, to be able to bear fruit and be effective with people. And so the first one we're going to take a look at today is you need to be able to authentically connect with people. Take a look in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. You need to be able to authentically connect with people. Authentically, for those that English is maybe not your first language, who of us, for whom is English is not your first language? Let me just raise your hand. Let's just see. Okay, let's reverse that question. For whom English is your first language? Okay, it's about five of you. Okay, so from now on, the services will be in Xhosa and in Afrikaans. I'm only putting your legs. Authentically, English is a common language for us all. Authentically is genuinely, to be able to genuinely connect with people. How do you do that? Today I'm going to talk about three things. Now, I'm sure there are more, but some three things that I thought about, spoke to my wife about, and sort of from experience and time that I certainly do not necessarily, I'm not good at these things by nature. But have really had to work on it and continue to work on it. First is you've got to be interested in people. Secondly, you've got to listen well. Thirdly, you've got to be vulnerable. If you want to be able to authentically connect with people, you need to be interested in them, you need to listen well, and you need to be vulnerable. So, interested in people, let's take a look at that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also at the interest of others." Each of you, each of us, should look not only at our own interest, but also the interest of others. This weekend, a brother in Johannesburg, he's not from Johannesburg, but at the conference came to me seeking some counsel on different issues. And I asked him this question. I said to him, "Brother, as Christians, who do we love most?" I said, "Bro, we love God most." I said, "Now, I'm not asking who we should love most. I'm asking who do we love most?" He says, "Oh, oh." I says, "Bro, we love those that are lost most. We really want to help them." I said, "I'm not sure if you're hearing what I'm saying. I'm not asking who we should love most. I'm asking who do we love most?" I sort of dropped his head and he said, "Bro, we love ourselves most." Isn't that true? It can be seen in everything that we do. We came here today with certain expectations of church that would meet our needs. My guess is that very few of us today came to church saying, well, listen, I'm going to go to church this morning with one purpose in mind. I want to go and give. I want to go and encourage. I want to be able to contribute. I want to go and just be interested in other people. We tend to come and say, well, I'm going to come to church because I want to learn. I want something that will help me. I want to be fed. I want to be encouraged. I want to talk about what I want to talk about, and I want to do what I want to do. It is ingrained inside of us. You can see it in the way that you spend your time. If you look at your week gone by and you put it in your calendar and you say, okay, well, in my calendar here, where was the focus of my time? We can see it in our energy, our resources, the way we spend our money. Where does our money go towards? It goes towards ourselves. What can I gain? What can I get? What do I want? You know, and even, this is the scary thing, even when we do things for others, we are often actually doing it for ourselves. What I mean by that is, I'm serving the poor, or the poor communities. I go there every week, I give them food. In reality, and not always, but often, so that I can feel better about myself. So that I would not feel like a bad person. So that I would feel like I'm doing the Christian thing. So that I feel like I'm doing the right thing. And actually, I'm actually serving them so that I would feel better about me. And the interest is me. It is in our DNA. I was sitting on the plane last night on the way back here, striking up a conversation with my fellow passenger, trying to reach out to them. Now I ask questions. You know, this usually, if I try and reach out to someone or befriend them or what have you, you ask questions, hey, how are you, who are you, where are you from? We spoke for, of the flight, maybe about an hour. In that hour, my fellow passenger did not ask me one question about me. Not one. It was a lady, and so to make sure that she didn't get the wrong impression, I continually spoke about my wife and my kids, and I mentioned my wife and my kids and my wife and my kids. And yes, I've got a 6-year-old and I've got a 3-year-old. I'm just throwing it in there just to make sure, you know, we're connected and we're understanding. My wife is coming to pick me up. But still trying to build some form of relationship. I want to reach out to her, invite her to the church. But the fascinating thing was that I was astonished that not one single question. Didn't ask me if I was married, I volunteered. It didn't ask me about my kids, I volunteered that. Nothing. Not one thing. Was this an evil woman? Not at all. She was actually a very sweet girl. But she is, like you and me, inward focused. We love ourselves most. It says here, each of you should not only look at your own interests, but also the interest of others. Meaning, if you want to be able to authentically connect with people, you have to be sincerely, let me use that word, sincerely interested in them. I say sincerely because you get books, and I've read many of them. I need to read them, and I have read them more multiple times. How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know, I've read The Friendship Factor. I've read The Likeability Factor. It's all to be able to help you with people skills, but I'm not talking here about people skills. It doesn't help you have the people skills, but you're not interested. In your heart of hearts, you're not interested. In your heart of hearts, you have no interest. You just know it's the right thing. That's your heart of hearts. So the fruit, you might even praise yourself and think, I'm doing great at this. But the people around you can see beyond all of that. They can see it in your body language. I just read a book about body language. Scary stuff, people. You say one thing, but your body language completely communicates something else. Totally different. And the average human being, which is you and I, we are not stupid. Meaning someone is talking to you, they're even asking the questions, but you can see they're not making eye contact. They're elsewhere, they're searching the fellowship. They're thinking of other things. You can see there's something else is running up here. Something else is happening. For us to be able to be whole and integrated, for us to be able to influence people, meaning our spouse, our children, our friends, we have to be able to connect. The only way we can connect is when we are interested. Genuinely, sincerely interested. Jesus made a fascinating comment when he said, someone comes up to him, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, number one, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, he says, now, fascinating, he doesn't say, love your neighbor. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because he knows how badly and deeply we love ourselves. And so that means that we need to take stock of our lives, and we need to take stock of what we do, and we need to take a look at our time, our money, our resources, everything that's running in our mind, and we need to say, this is the energy and the capacity that I'm spending on myself. Now, Jesus is saying, now love your neighbor as yourself. So, let's say we cut it 50% as yourself. So, if it's 100%, it's 50-50. And you take half of your money, half of your time, half of your energy, half of your resources, half of everything, you say, you know what, I'm going to invest this in other people to be interested in them. I'm not talking about selling everything you have. I'm talking about the basics. Who are you? That's being interested. What makes you tick as a person? What are your dreams? What are your fears? What are your concerns? I think that a number of us, we have known each other in the fellowship for years, but we don't know each other. Because we're not interested. And yet, isn't it fascinating that when someone is interested in you, how it immediately connects you to that person? If you pay interest in my kids, in my mind, you're interested in me. Love my kids, you love me. And I love you. Because you love my kids. And I'm interested in my kids. My kids are very important to me. And all of us feel the same way. So if you want to authentically connect with people, if you want to be a person that is integrated and whole, be interested. And if you're anything like me, that would mean that you would most probably have to remind yourself of that again and again and again until you're able to change the route more and more and more till it actually becomes who you are. That who you are is someone that is interested in other people. Become like that, you connect, become whole, become integrated, become a man and woman of integrity. Second one here, so learn to listen well. James chapter 1. How many of us are good listeners? Can you put up your hand? How many of us? Okay, there's one. I'm sure there's some of us where they are good listeners. Two, three, a couple of... there we go. Okay, the hands are slowly coming. How many of us think that our spouse, that they're good listeners? Okay, we've got one there. Wow, Tefu, well done for you. Peter. Okay, of the teens. How many of you feel your parents are good listeners? I see there's half a hand coming up. Let's see what the Bible says about listening and connecting. James chapter 1 verse 19. My dear brothers and husbands and wives and parents and ministers. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Who does most of the talking in your relationships? Therese is admitting it, but Yolanda disagrees. Who does most of the talking in your relationship? Between you and your spouse. Who does most of the talking? Between you and your kids, between you and your friends. Most of the talking. I see Don and Nelly, they're also having a thing there. I think there can be plenty of conversations after today. The Bible says, be quick to listen. When we listen, we are able to connect, aren't we? And when people listen to us, we feel connected to them. This is certainly something by nature that I know I'm not good at. But I've really worked hard over the years to get better at this. And so I thought I was making some progress. Then the other day, I was having lunch, coffee. We actually ended up having nothing. We just had a chat, a brother and I. We're talking about different things in his life and different things in my life. And as sort of the conversation or lunchtime came to an end, there's a brother in the fellowship. Let me just see if I see him. You'll know who he is. I said to him, bro, anything that I can pray for you for? I said, yeah, if I can please pray for this situation and his marriage and this situation in his life and what have you. I said, amen, I'll definitely pray for you for that. And before I could say anything else, he said to me, I'm still praying for you to be a good listener. I mean, he was very kind. He was not rude at all. He was very kind. But then, obviously, I could only make one deduction from that. That the growth has not been evident. The more you talk, the less you listen. Plato said, wise men talk because they have something to say. Fools, because they have to say something. Would you rather spend time with someone who talks all the time or listens to you? Let's do a quick check here. How many of us want to spend time, most of your time, with someone who talks all the time? Can you raise your hand? One, two. Francois a bit worried there, Cecilia. Four, five. Okay, five. How many of us would like to spend time with someone who's willing to listen? Okay, can you see around? It's a little bit more than five. It's basically everyone else. We need to be listened to. Take a look in Proverbs chapter 20. We all need it. I need it. You need it. Everyone needs it. The other day, we were away in a planning session with the staff, and our kids went along. And my two kids are at this stage in the time of sibling rivalry. I don't know if any of you guys have ever experienced that. Or whether you have incredibly godly children that don't struggle with that. But they're certainly going through this. And so what would happen is the one, we have got a, I won't mention names here, I don't want people to get certain impressions of my children. So the one is by nature more of a hitter than the other. And so the hitter hits her sister all the time. And then the sister is obviously responding by hitting back. And so I said to the sister, I said, sweetie, you, and obviously I usually come into the action when she's doing the hitting back. And I said, you can't hit your sister. Why are you hitting her? No, she hit me first. I said, but sweetie, you can't just hit her because she hit you. I mean, we want to be Christ-like here. Turn the other cheek type of scenario. And trying to help her see that what her sister is doing is wrong, but you cannot now just go and do the same back. And she said to me, can we talk in private? I said, sure. So we go off into a room, we close the door, and I say, shoot, go for it. She said, but the thing is, she hit me first. I said, but sweetie, it still doesn't make it right for you to hit it back. She said, I thought we came in here so that I could talk. She said, now you're doing the talking. I thought I was going to be listened to. I said, sweetie, I'm sorry. Let me sit down. Let's talk. And she spoke for about 20 minutes. about everything that she was feeling and everything that she was thinking and what was driving her to that behavior and how should it be resolved and how can we work through this. And after she had said it all, I said, okay, amen, you know, I understand and I'm sorry that you're going through those things. And I said, how can I help? And she said, well, next time she hits her, can I help? I said, sure, call me. And since that moment, she has not hit her back. She has called me every time saying she's hitting me. Oh, there she goes again. She's hitting me. And then the other one you did see in action. But she needs to be listened to and heard. Good listeners can be described as quiet, interested, attentive and helpful, comfortable, patient, focused, selfless, generous, thoughtful, involved. I'm sure as I'm going through this, you think you're all of it. Curious, caring, loving, accepting, understanding, and non-judgmental. When we become like that, we become listeners. In Proverbs 20, let's take a look there in verse 5. It says, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters. Another translation says, a person's thoughts are like deep waters and a deep well, but a man of understanding draws them out. We are complicated beings by nature. That's who we are. We think other people are complicated, but each one of us, we're complicated. We have intricate things happening in our soul. It says, but a man or a woman of understanding is able to draw that out of us. Someone who is willing and able to listen is able to draw those things out of you, understand you better, and connect better with you. And often we don't understand each other. We don't understand our spouses. We don't understand our children. Our children do not understand us because we fail to listen. We can't hear, and so we can't draw each other out. And we don't understand why the relationship does not feel integrated, why we don't feel connected. Aristotle said, wisdom is the reward for a lifetime of listening when you would rather be talking. Wise people, we think by nature the wise people are the ones that talk all the time, but if we really think of who we think is wise, it's those that are willing to listen to us and understand us. Understanding is a very difficult thing that I have tried to develop over the years, and it's very hard. In understanding, you do not necessarily have to agree with what someone is feeling, but you can acknowledge it. In other words, what would happen is someone would approach me, and it's happened with me where I've approached other people, and I feel like they have falsely accused me, where they've said something or they reacted in a certain way to something that they felt or thought I said, and then I thought, but I didn't say that, I didn't mean that, I didn't intend to mean that, and you are upset without reason. I usually try and say it more politely than that. But that's how I feel. I feel you're upset with me without reason because I didn't mean any of those things, and so because I didn't mean any of those things, I assume you now feel better. Now, who of us feels better after we know that someone defensively didn't mean any of those things? We want acknowledgement. We want acknowledgement that I can see that you didn't mean to hurt me, but you did. I can see you didn't mean to say that it wasn't your intention, but I still got hurt. My feelings still got hurt. Please acknowledge that. And it's funny that the times that we actually acknowledge that, which sometimes have taken me very long, and I've hurt many people, unfortunately, through that. As soon as you acknowledge it, as soon as you say, you know what, No explanation. I usually go defense first. But no defense, no explanation. I'm sorry for hurting your feelings. I really am. The whole thing just gets resolved. For me, in 99% of those situations, the other person is usually, don't worry about it, it's okay, I forgive you. I was actually also guilty, and I did the wrong thing, and I shouldn't have thought that, and I'm really sorry. But everything gets resolved if we're just able to understand. If we're able to be sympathetic and considerate and thoughtful. Now, please understand me here. And what I'm saying, I'm not saying that you need to develop your listening, or we need to develop our listening skills. What I'm saying is we need to develop a listening heart. We need to, should not develop understanding skills, because you can pick that up as well. You can see when someone has read the book. Read a book on understanding, read a book on listening, and you can see, you can literally see that on our practicing what they have learned. And I'm very grateful if people do that. But we can see that it's not the heart, and what we're looking for is the heart. We're looking for someone who says, listen here, I understand. Understanding means that what you do is you place yourself into the other person's world, in their shoes, and in their skin. You're not placing you in their shoes. You're placing you in their world, with their background, with their history, with their temperament, with their feelings, with their upbringing, with everything, with their personality. You're placing you and their world in their skin, in their shoes. And when we do, most of the time, we're able to say, you know what? I understand. I can understand why you did that. I can understand why you said that. I can understand why you feel that. Now again, remember, it's not necessarily right what is felt or what was said, but it can be understood. The problem with me when I get in those sort of confrontation situations of disagreement is that my whole life basically boils down to persuasion. I need to persuade my kids to live righteous lives. I need to persuade people to become Christians through the scriptures. I need to persuade people in marriage to start loving one another again. I need to persuade the church and to go in a certain direction. So all the time, I'm in persuasion mode. And so I'm in persuasion mode. I'm in meetings often and situations. And I'm just persuading. That's my mind. It's just persuade. So when someone doesn't see it or understand it or agree with it, then what I think I need to do is, all I need to do is, I just need to turn up the volume knob just a little bit. And I've obviously didn't do a good job with explaining it. So let me just re-explain it. And just take a different route and use different tactics. And then they'll get it. But they don't. Because I'm not being understanding. And those moments, what so many have taught me and are helping me with, is to take off the persuader's hat and put on the understanding hat and say, help me, take me into your world. Help me see things through your eyes. Help me understand who you are as a man, as a woman, as a father, as a teenager. I don't know your world. I'm not 13. I'm 50. Take me into your world. Or, I'm 13. I'm not 50. Take me into your world. It's understanding. When we understand, we connect. When we connect, we're able to meet the demands of the reality of those relationships. We can deal with life, and we can be fruitful. Thirdly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be vulnerable. Cyril touched on that earlier on. To be able to connect with people, you've got to be vulnerable. My time's running out, so I'm going to be short in this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We're not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. If we want to be able to connect with each other, we must be vulnerable. We must open up our hearts also. Some time ago, one of my kids just came off the nappy, which is a wonderful moment for us. We have spent, over the last 6 years, 36,000 rand on nappies. For any parent with two children that had disposable nappies, that was most probably your account too. You just didn't know it yet until I told you this. So it was a wonderful moment. And then one evening at a midweek in the kids' zone, unfortunately she had a bit of a oops. And for her and her world, that was very hard. It was very embarrassing. She felt very shy. She didn't want to went to get her. She didn't want to leave me. She attached. She was devastated. And I felt, my heart really went out to her, and I felt so sorry for her. And then by the time we got home, I mean, she wouldn't look anyone in the eye. She just felt so embarrassed. And we put her down in her bed, and I said, you know what? When I was a kid, I peed in my pants. She started laughing. It was, she just smiled, and she said, I said, I'm sure your mom did too, honey. And Lisa, I'll be vulnerable for her. She said, yes, I did too. But it's amazing how suddenly we could just resonate. And suddenly it was like someone just popped a balloon and she could look in her eyes again and she could smile and she was fine just because we said, we can relate. We've been there. I've been in my pants. Not recently, people. Ugly thought right there. But we could connect through that. Being vulnerable connects us. It's difficult. It's a lot at stake. It feels scary. It's risky. You're putting yourself out there and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what people are going to think. You don't know what they're going to feel. And suddenly all the attention is on you. I don't like attention at all. I feel very awkward around attention. I feel very awkward in public settings. Sure, I look awkward. I don't feel that awkward here because we're family. But over the weekend, every year at the Southern African Leadership Conference, they do a video. And in this video, there's sort of a script that says faith is, and then I think we've shown some of these videos here. And it will change people. It says faith is this, faith is that. And everything that's said, it's someone else, someone else, someone else, someone else, someone else. And you might have picked up that I'm not on one of those videos. And so this year again, they had a video to be made, Love Is. And then it's, and you'll see the video when it's done. I'm sure it will be done in about a month's time or so because it's integrating a number of people. And again, I thought, I'm going to dodge this bullet. And so it's all said and done. Saturday was the only time you could do it. The morning session, I didn't. And then just before the afternoon classes started, Justin asked me, so have you done the video yet? I said, no, I haven't. But unfortunately, I know it's over. He says, no, come with me. We'll do it together. And so you get all these different texts that you could pick from. I mean, there are verses upon verses. I picked, my eyes just scanned the shortest one. Love never fails. So I took Love Never Fails. And I stand there and there's like the video here today. Now and we're in a vault, so it's quiet. Literally in a vault with the vault door, the whole lot. It's a vault in the church building. We're in it and I need to go. Love never fails. She's going to, no, let's redo it. Love never fails. 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 I felt so awkward. I felt like a fool. And all she's there, she's staring and she's saying, go again. Go again. Can you do that again? Do that again. Being vulnerable is like that. It feels like you're putting yourself out there and this is me. You feel butt naked. This is me. This is how it's going with my marriage. This is how it's going with my parenting. This is how it's going with my walk with God. For parents to kids, this is dad. This is mom. I'm a sinner. And not just I'm a sinner, here's why I'm a sinner. Here's what I did. My daughter continually wants me to tell the stories again and again of everything that I did wrong. I told her once, and I was in a meeting and didn't go well. I spoke over people. You spoke over people? Oh, that's bad. She said, no, yes, I did. And then the next day she'll ask her, how'd it go today? Did you speak over anyone? But you put yourself out there. It is risky. And you know what? Sometimes people will abuse it. It's happened to me often. I say something from the pulpit even. And then people come back to me and they'll say, someone will say to me at some point, you know what, you're most probably not listening to me again. I know you struggle with it. You've said it last week and I think you're in it again. Those kind of things happen, but it is the rare occasion that it does. When we're vulnerable, we connect. We're even Stephen. We're Adam and Eve right in the beginning. Then we become whole. We become integrated. And we're able to help and influence one another. So, if you want to connect with people, be interested, listen, be vulnerable. It will help your marriage, it will help you with your kids, with your parents, and everyone around you. Let's close in a prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you are all these things that we need. That you are incredibly interested in us. You listen to us. You're vulnerable with us. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us, for each of us in here, that you'll meet us where we're at and that you'll help us to become more and more like that. But I'm sure that a number of us have realized, either in our parenting or in our marriage, Father, we don't listen well. I'm sure that some of us might feel, but we don't understand people. And we don't even know how to develop that understanding. We don't know how to be vulnerable. We are too afraid, too scared. And I just pray that you'll give us the courage and that you'll lead us with your spirit and that you'll help us to become those things so that we can be more whole, that we can be more integrated. And the more integrated we become, the more we are able to love one another and love you. Father, we thank you that we can meet together and we can be vulnerable with one another and talk through these things. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.